Chapter 21.
"We've got them right where we want them," said Jimmy Moran.
Tommy Carter placed a finger to his lips and nodded pointedly at John O'Donnell, who was methodically making his way around the front room with the scanning device they'd brought back from Florida the last time they'd been over. A present from O'Donnell's contacts in Miami that was proving useful. Franco, sitting in the armchair, looked at Moran stretched out on the sofa, his feet on the cushions. The man had no respect for anything, and seeing as Tommy kept his house as pristine as both his father and his mother had before him, that was doubly disrespectful. Moran didn't have the sense he was born with.
"For feck's sake, Tommy," continued Moran, "Jono checked the whole place 2 days ago. Can we get on with it?"
O'Donnell stopped what he was doing and looked down pointedly at him. Moran may have been a more imposing physical presence, but he still wilted under O'Donnell's gaze.
"I'm just saying,"
he said, shifting his legs around. Huffily, he took his Zippo lighter out of his pocket and started flicking it on and off, dancing his fingers through the flame. Tommy stood leaning against the piano that nobody had played in 20 years, not since Tommy's ma had passed. He gave Moran a look that was hard to read. Tommy was always hard to read. O'Donnell finished running the device up and down the last remaining wall before nodding an affirmative at Carter and going to stand by the fireplace. Tommy turned and switched on the jammer box that sat on top of the piano. Belt and braces.
"Right. I'm calling this meeting to order. Let's keep this brief and to the point. Franco, how did the meeting go with our friends from the north?"
"Like clockwork, Tommy. I thought that prick Roberts was going to shit himself when he realised we'd taken out his boys."
"Did he say anything we didn't expect?"
Franco shook his head.
"Nah. Usual demands of something for nothing, thinking they're the big bad wolf. I've not heard anything back since, but I'll keep an ear out."
"Okay, good. From a security standpoint?"
Carter looked at O'Donnell, but it was Moran who answered.
"Like a dream. Share of amateurs didn't know what hit them, I swear."
Moran stopped talking when he noticed the look on Tommy's face.
"John?"
"Yeah,"
said O'Donnell.
"Mostly fine."
"Mostly?"
O'Donnell glanced in Moran's direction.
"Jimmy got into it with one of their boys. Slapped him around a bit."
Moran leaned forward.
"He was acting the maggot, Tommy."
Carter looked at O'Donnell again.
"How much?"
O'Donnell shrugged.
"Nothing big, but the guy will have gone to A&D.
"Big deal," said Moran.
Carter sighed.
"Not a big deal, Jimmy. Course not. But the fella's going to hospital. He's going to have visible damage, I assume. Questions will get asked. Even the Gardaí are smart enough to notice somebody with a smashed up face. We don't want to advertise."
"It sends a message."
Carter didn't move as he spoke. Franco had always noticed that about him. He was unnervingly good at staying absolutely still.
"The only messages we send are the ones I say we send. Is that absolutely clear?"
Franco watched Moran shift nervously under the younger man's calm gaze, before mumbling,
"Yes, Tommy,"
and then going back to flicking his lighter. Franco might have known Tommy Carter better than anyone outside of his immediate family, but even he had to be looking closely to see the flash of irritation that slipped across his otherwise unreadable face.
"Good. Now, how did it go with your friend after?"
Moran perked up.
"Really well. Shipment is coming in Monday, 2037. Just like we expected."
Franco ran his hand through his hair and puffed out his cheeks.
"We can't move on that, Tommy. Not with the heat on us.
Morin shrugged.
We can run circles around those clowns. What's the big deal? You going soft, Franco?
Blow it out your arse, Jimmy.
Morin liked to lord his and O'Donnell's hard man military stuff over Franco every chance he got, and he was getting royally sick of it. Morin confused smart with scared way too much. Morin made to respond, but Tommy put his hand out to cut him off.
We don't have time for one of your pissing contests. Franco, how did your little trip go?
Franco pulled two sheets of paper from under his jumper.
He got us a list of names, but it cost double. Razzers, even dirty ones, don't like giving up other razzers.
It had taken Franco half an hour to calm him down and get the names. Nothing worse than a bent copper with a sudden attack of conscience. Tommy took the pages.
Good work. You took it out of petty cash?
Yeah, but...
Franco rubbed his hands together.
That pot is running low, after the expenses and the low return from the last job.
Tommy nodded.
Not a problem. We're good to...
They were interrupted by a soft knock on the living room door. Tommy put a finger to his lips before raising his voice.
Yeah?
Tommy's sister, Emer, popped her head in, glancing nervously around the room.
Sorry, Tommy. That's all right, Emer,
said Tommy, in a soft tone he reserved for his sister and nobody else.
It's only the lads.
They all nodded and smiled greetings at her. She flashed a brief smile, not looking in Franco's direction at all.
Is everything okay?
Emer spoke somewhere north of a whisper, but not by much.
I'm going to the cinema with Janet. Is that all right? Course. You got money?
She nodded.
Grant, ring me if you need a lift home.
She nodded again and quickly departed. They waited a few seconds and heard the front door open and close.
She's awful quiet when we're around, said Morin. I think she's got a crush on Jono.
Morin's guffaw died in his throat as the cold eyes of both O'Donnell and Tommy bore down into him.
Sorry, only messing. No disrespect.
Tommy fixed his gaze on Morin for a second longer and then moved to O'Donnell.
And your end?
O'Donnell nodded.
All good? On schedule? Which means we need next week to happen or come up with something else fast.
Don't worry,
said Carter, tapping the sheets of paper in his hand.
There'll be a weakness, and I'll find it. Just everyone stick to the plan, and don't do anything stupid.
They all nodded.
Now,
said Carter.
Who wants to see the video of the Garda Síochána's finest being beaten by a bunch of carol-singing 12-year-olds?